Guess who's back?
Me.
Why do bad things happen? Why does God allow suffering? Why does God do natural disasters? Why won't God heal amputees? And why doesn't he save starving children? The question now arises, why did Allah create life, the universe, and everything? And the answer is, certainly not without purpose. It is held in the religion of Islam, and indeed in all original divine world religions, that this world is a place of testing. That good people will be rewarded and the bad people will be punished, either in this world or the next. Now, without going too deep into that, we have to understand that most of the suffering in the world is man-made. Allah has created the world in perfect balance and harmony with nature, and there has always been enough food, water, shelter, and resources for human beings to live happily. And our test has always been to maintain that balance. The Holy Quran states, "The Most Merciful hath made known the Quran, he created the human being, he has taught him speech and intelligence, and he made the balance, that ye may not transgress with the balance." Allah has prescribed certain rules for human beings to follow. If they follow these rules, then most of the suffering in the world would disappear. For instance, the alms, which are obligatory for all Muslims to pay, is not a huge burden. And yet, if everyone on earth was paying that charity, would there be any poverty left? Did you know that the net worth of the world's billionaires increased from less than $1 trillion in 2000 to over $7 trillion in 2015? The wealth distribution pyramid of 2013 reveals that half of the world's wealth belongs to the top 1%. That's right, this 1% of people has the ability to end world poverty, but they're not. And the bottom 95% of people on the planet are left to scramble over just 28.4% of the world's wealth. These people, due to the fact that they are rich and powerful, pretty much rule the world through funding political parties of their choice, controlling the world banking system, funding wars, and enslaving the common people, me and you, through debt. And we've been indoctrinated into believing that this is the way the world is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be this way, and we are supposed to believe in Allah and try to change it. This wealth, this power, is given to some by Allah, and it is a test to see what they'll do with it. Will they maintain the balance of Allah? Will they be just? Will they be fair? Or will they be greedy? God has made some of you richer than others, but the rich ones do not give away their property to their slaves to make them equally rich. Do they reject the bounties of Allah? When it comes to the things that Allah has placed in our hands, we should not turn around and say, "Hey, the world's a bad place. Why should I try to make it any better?" God can do that himself if he wants to and if he exists. This is an excuse made by those who suffer from disbelief in order to exempt themselves from the responsibility of striving to make the world a better place. Now, when it comes to those things which Allah has not placed in our hands, for example, natural disasters, disabilities, disease, etc., there is a wisdom behind everything that Allah does. His is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. He gives life and causes death, and he has power over all things. Allah has given life, wealth, health, and security to whom he pleases, and he never said that these things are going to last forever. In fact, he said every soul will taste of death. Everyone lives and everyone dies. Some die young, some die old, some die through heart attacks, some die through disease, some die through natural disasters, but everyone dies. This is the natural order of Allah. To argue that he does not exist because some people naturally died in a way that you deem to be unjust is silly. So you'd only believe in Allah if everyone got to choose when and how they die? That's just strange. You'd only believe in Allah if everything was, in your eyes, perfect. Everyone was happy, everyone was healthy, and the world was just a perfect place. Then you'd believe in Allah? Well, you're not describing this world. You're describing heaven. Nowhere has Allah or any of the divine messengers and prophets ever described this world as a place of eternal bliss. In fact, they have always argued the contrary, that this world is a place of trials, tribulations, and suffering, and that the believers will go to the eventual place of eternal bliss. One of the arguments that atheists present is, you only believe in God because you were born into a believing household. Atheists pose the question that, would you have believed if you were not born into a believing household? This is called ad hominem, A fallacious argumentative strategy whereby genuine discussion of the topic at hand is avoided by instead attacking the character, motive, or other attribute of the person making the argument rather than attacking the substance of the argument itself. For example, if person A argues that the sky is blue, then person B, who believes that the sky is red, comes along and says, "You have no fashion sense." It's not an argument. It's simply attacking the person in order to avoid the argument. Being born into a believing family does have an impact on the individual. But to conclude from that impact that it's the only factor which affects people's faith is factually wrong. To argue that the only people who are Muslims or believers are those who are born into Muslim or believing households is just historically inaccurate. There are too many Muslims from non-Muslim backgrounds to make this claim. And the reason the atheists make this claim is because they're avoiding the facts themselves and attempting to attack the motives of the believers. To argue that you only believe in God because your family believes in God is a denial of the rational arguments themselves. And one could easily turn around and say, well, you're an atheist because you were raised in a family or society which constantly hammered the idea of atheism into your mind through the education system and through the indoctrination of mass media, which ceaselessly mocked the idea of God and furthermore presented the false image of God through church paintings, through comedies which presented God as a humanoid bearded old man, and went on to highlight constantly how ridiculous religious people were. Thus, it seeped into your conscious and subconscious mind that, number one, God is a man. Number two, religion is a man-made concept used to close people's minds, control them, and trick them out of their money. And number three, therefore, it's all fake. Bearing all this in mind, you can't really be blamed for overlooking the fact that, number one, God is not a man. Number two, God sent religion to guide humans towards perfection, but humans changed the religion and warped the idea of God in the minds of the people in order to close their minds, control them, and trick them out of their money. And number three, therefore, it's your job to search for the truth and not to just accept what people say without deep introspection, research, and contemplation. Whew-wee, may Allah bless the believers, and don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and share this with whoever you think it may concern. Which is everybody.